The Department of Minerals and Energy revealed in Parliament yesterday that they have decided not to appeal the High Court's decision to overturn aspects of the mining charter. One of the aspects that the mining industry was most pleased about having overturned was this issue of taking away the notion of once empowered, always empowered, because the mining industry has said, look, we've transformed, we've given the percentage that is necessary to empowerment partners, and now you're asking us, if our empowerment partners sell their share, you're saying we have to find new empowerment partners to get us back up to that liminal percentage. No. And that's one of the aspects that the court judgment threw out. Patrick Layden is a corporate attorney specializing in mining with Herbert Smith Freehills, a partner there. Patrick, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, John. Good afternoon to your listeners.
My sense is that any celebration should be put on hold because the department has indicated that it's, I suppose you could say, getting the provisions of the mining charter through the back door by attaching it to an amendment to the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act.
Yeah, John, I think it was certainly a positive outcome for the mining industry, being the judgment that was handed down on the 21st of September. And then there has obviously been silence from the DMRE, at least publicly, as far as whether or not they were going to appeal this judgment. And as you've mentioned, at the Parliamentary Resources and Energy Committee, they indicated that they would not be appealing. And I think that in itself is a positive outcome, because what would happen with an appeal is it would effectively delay or suspend the decision of the court pending the outcome of the appeal, which, as you probably know, can take 1 to 2 to 3 years for an outcome. So there you would have this regulatory uncertainty that's marred the mining industry for many years, just simply continuing. But as you've correctly pointed out, there is an indication, or the DMRE mentioned, that they would, in all likelihood, look to amend the provisions of the MPRDA to bring the charter within the scope of the MPRDA and elevate it to law. I think one of the outcomes of that judgment is it effectively said the mining charter is not law; it's a policy document, and the implication of that is that the DMRE is not in a position to legally enforce its provisions if it's simply a policy document.
So pretty much everything. Would it be reasonable to assume that just about everything that the court threw out, the department is planning to put back in through a different process? So anybody who thinks that once empowered, always empowered is going to remain part of mining policy would be in for a shock.
Yeah, look, I think that the DMRE would need to think through that quite carefully. Obviously, the court have found that the once empowered, always empowered principle in relation to the charter is a principle that exists and that should be enforced. And so in order to reintroduce that principle or prohibit that principle in terms of the MPRDA, I don't think would be taking anything forward. In fact, it is likely to deter investment into the mining industry. So What Mining Charter 3 did is it did recognize the once empowered, always empowered principle in relation to existing mining right holders that had in fact complied with the 2010 charter at the date that Mining Charter 3 came into effect. But what it then did is it then did not recognize that principle in relation to subsequent renewals of those rights, as well as applying various new principles in relation to the exits of BE shareholders after the charter came into effect. So it did recognize it, but didn't recognize it to the full extent. So we don't know. The DMRE didn't give any indication as to whether they are simply going to rewrite the judgment by incorporating these principles that were reviewed and set aside into the new charter. But I would think that there would need to be far more engagement with the mining industry and all relevant stakeholders, including the community and labor, in order to reach an outcome that is not simply going to be litigated again in the future. As soon as the,
yeah, I mean, that I think is a critical point to make, Patrick, because rightly or wrongly, the mining industry in South Africa is not investing in mining in South Africa to the extent that perhaps it could and should, given the minerals that are there to be taken out of the ground, simply because of a lack of trust in government, a lack of trust of, you know, what is going to happen to those investments and how secure they might be. So we do want to return to a situation where the main players, despite their obvious and perhaps necessary differences, say, okay, we agree that this is the way forward.
Yeah, precisely, John. I think security of tenure in relation to existing rights is critical to any investment. You're putting large amounts of capital into the mining to construct these mines, and they have a 30-year lifespan. You can't simply keep changing the goalposts as you go along. And as you've correctly mentioned, in order to continue to grow and sustain the mining industry in South Africa, we have to be promoting exploration. We have to be promoting the development of greenfield, essentially new mining projects and new mines in South Africa to continue to grow the industry and to attract investment.
Thank you very much for sharing those thoughts with us. Patrick Layden, a partner at Herbert Smith Freehills, specializing in mining.